Welcome to the Authority Playbook. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and today we're talking about the strategies that help you stand out, be seen, and be heard. You're watching Now Media Television. Welcome to the Authority Playbook. I'm Jeff Brandeis. This show is built for founders, executives, and industry leaders who don't just want visibility, they want positioning. We break down the real strategies behind influence, credibility, and sustainable dominance in competitive markets. Today, we're tackling one of the biggest shifts in modern business, artificial intelligence, AI. Not from a hype perspective, but from an execution standpoint. Joining me today is Scott McIntosh, founder and president of Digital Treehouse, an AI automation agency helping small businesses translate AI into measurable efficiency and revenue gains. With over 15 years in digital marketing and SEO, including optimization work across more than 200 brands, Scott brings practical, hands-on experience. He also publishes the Smart Owner newsletter, helping entrepreneurs cut through the AI noise. Scott, welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Pleasure having you here for sure. So today we're going to talk about various things. So our first topic we're going to discuss, Scott, is let's separate some of the AI hype from strategic implementation. Okay. We're hearing so much about AI everywhere. What you're seeing in the marketplace, what are business owners getting wrong right now? What are they not doing correctly with AI?
Sure. And I just want to be clear to everybody. This is the real me. This is not my AI avatar.
Awesome. Yes, there's lots of those roaming around these days too.
Yeah. So, you know, recent studies have come out that really only about 40% of people have even adopted or are trying AI. So, you know, I think a lot of people that have used, let's say, ChatGPT, even a little bit, you know, see the power of it, and they start to use it every day. But then there's the other side of that where people haven't even used it. So I've talked to two of my clients recently, and we were talking about, you know, doing something. We weren't talking about AI specifically. We were talking about some of their normal work that we do with them. And I said, you know what? Let's make this easy. Why don't you bring up whatever AI you like to use? And they said, what do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, I was like, ChatGPT or Claude? I mean, which one do you use? I don't know what you're talking about. I walked them through on the call, like a Zoom call. I said, type this into your browser, chatgpt.com, and then type this request. And it was like a kid seeing a video game for the first time. They were just amazed. So I think we have a huge split right now of people that have no idea what this thing is and haven't even tried it, and people that are starting to use it and seeing the power. And then we have a small percentage, I think it's probably 5 to 10% of businesses that have really dove in and tried to implement it. The problem is it really hasn't been that good until about 3 or 4 months ago. Before that, it would hallucinate. It couldn't update your spreadsheet. It couldn't tell the time or the date. It still has issues with the date for some reason. So I think the business owners that adopted it jumped in very quickly. They thought it was the answer for everything. They tried to implement it all over the place. It was a disaster. And they're now kind of think it's taboo, right? They don't want to touch it. Or it's that one person that tried it last year and it was like, this is weird. And then we'll never try it again. They don't understand how fast it's gotten better. I mean, AIs are now building the new AIs. People aren't building these anymore. AI is writing its own new release, its updated software. And pretty soon, and that takes now a month, right? And pretty soon it's going to take a week, and then better version's going to come out. And then it's going to take a day, and the better version. And then it's going to take an app, right? And then it's just going to be continually improving at exponential speeds until we hit this whatever we're going towards. But this supernatural, you know, whatever they're saying, you know, super AI, right? But I think that's what happens with businesses that tried this too early. They tried to do a lot of things at once, and it just didn't work. And I think what you really need to do is, it's overwhelming. I get it. There's it can now touch every part of your business, every part of your day, every part of your life. So I think you start with one thing, one simple thing, and implement that. And we can talk about what that should be on the show too. There's a lot of options.
Well, I think that leads into the next natural question. So there was one thing that a business would put into their workflow from an AI perspective. What would that be one thing be?
Sure. Claude projects are fantastic. Claude projects. So Claude is basically ChatGPT's competitor. All right. So there's the company and then there's the name of the product. So OpenAI created ChatGPT. And it's exactly that. It's a chat. You go and chat with this thing and you ask it questions and it gives you answers, right? Claude is the same thing. It's just a different company called Anthropic. Claude was actually started by somebody that was with OpenAI when they first started. And there's kind of a, you know, a history of that where OpenAI said they were going to be not for profit, and they decided to go for profit. And so some people left and started Anthropic, and it's actually my favorite. I like Anthropic, which is Claude, which you can access at claude.ai, claude.ai. Now, I have no affiliation with the company, no investment in it, so I just love it. And whenever you chat with an AI, right, you chat with it and it gives you back information. And that AI knows pretty much everything in the history of mankind up to maybe last week, right? Or maybe up to last month. So, and you'll have this big conversation with it. And you teach it all these things like, all right, I'm working on this construction project. And here's a bunch of invoices I have. And here's all the emails I have. And I need you to help me talk to my contractor so they don't rip me off, right? And then you ask it a question, and it helps you. And it literally, it gives you an email to send to the contractor. And the contractor's like, oh, no, I'm not messing with this person because he knows what he's talking about, or she knows what they're talking about. Well, then you go and do something else. And then you got to maybe find that chat and come back to it. And or you got to reteach Claude everything again, upload all that stuff. So there's a really cool thing called projects. So if you have an ongoing project, right, which could be anything, it could be one of your clients. It could be a vacation you're planning, right? Put everything into this project where it's just a button you click and you upload files. And there's another button you can paste text. So you can copy and paste all the emails. So I did this. I've been working on an invention of mine that I've been selling. It's a consumer product, and I've been doing it for like 4 years. So I've got 4 years of emails between me and the attorneys about my patents and my trademarks and a different attorney for Canada, and 4 years. And I can't. And then one of my investors actually asked me, hey, what did our patents cost us in total? And I was like, which ones? You know, we've got a couple. He said the utility patent. And I was like, I thought, God, this is going to take me a week. Nope. In 1 hour, I uploaded every email from between me and any attorney and every document they sent, the assignments, the utility pre-approval, whatever. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, right? All this legal stuff. And so it took me about an hour to upload all of that. And then literally I just typed in, how much did my utility patents cost? My utility patent. Jeff, here's the best part. I thought I only had one. It was like, you actually have two utility patents. It defined their names, their dates. It told me everything about them. It told me how much exactly it cost me to pay for those. And it broke it down into this perfect, you know, note. And then I said, shorten that and write it for my, no, you know what I did? I took a screenshot of my investor's email to me, pasted it in that new project, right? Because now I'm chatting inside that project. I'm chatting in a project that already has all the history. I never have to add that history again. And I chatted, or I just pasted the screenshot of my investor's email, and it told me exactly how to answer it, like used his name, everything. And then I can literally, I think I said, like, make it a little more, make it shorter, right? Because this investor is really short in terms of, you know, and I said, and change the language in this way. And it did. And anyway, it was perfect. So a Claude project is one of the easiest, fastest ways to really see the power of AI. It's easy. Just find a YouTube video on how to set up Claude projects. It's going to cost you $20 a month for Claude. You got to have the pro version. But guys, I pay $200 a month for like the super pro version. I talk with Claude more than I've had the voice in my head talks to me. I mean, it's like I have a relationship
with him. Right?
What's that?
It's your best friend now, right?
I kind of feel close to Claude now. You know, I'm sitting in bed about to go to bed at night. I'm like, oh, I got an idea. I pull my phone out. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? And, you know, it's so positive in its response. It's like, Scott, yet another great idea. Let's talk about it. And, you know, 2 hours later, my wife's like, put the phone down.
So you brought up a lot of interesting points, too. And I've played around with Claude and ChatGPT and some others as well. One thing I've learned, and maybe you can expand upon this, too, is not everything you see or read that they give you back is always things that you want to be able to share or agree with, or, I mean, it has pretty much a, you know, its opinion. So you always have to be able to kind of look back at it as well. Have you found that to be an issue with some businesses just kind of taking copy paste and not looking at what's being produced?
Oh my gosh, for sure. You know, and there was that attorney that did that when it first came out. An attorney took one of the AIs and put a case into it. I got a puppy attack. Put a case into it and hold on 1 second. And was busy, right? Was about to go play golf or something. So put all the case information in there and it spit out the results and it quoted a bunch of cases that basically made it look like it was an easy win for him. And then he shipped it off, however attorneys do that, right? Sent it to the judge or something. And they looked up the cases and they said, these are all fake. So for sure, you have to double check it. Now it's gotten better. It doesn't hallucinate as much. It doesn't make things up, but it is not right. And even says that at the bottom as like a default safety note, like, you know, Claude is not always right. ChatGPT is not always right. Double check everything. And sure enough, you know, I work with a financial advisor and we send a newsletter out and he sends me his newsletter in spreadsheets, because that's how financial people communicate, right? So I have to take his newsletter out of a spreadsheet and turn it into like a document that's easy to read. And he puts the markets in there and I will cut and paste the market spreadsheet in there. And I say, hey, you know, make this into a nice image so I can put it in my spreadsheet. So it's great. It takes the data in a spreadsheet, copy paste format, and then turns it into this beautiful image branded after my client. But the numbers were wrong. It decided to change. It decided to add the numbers up differently. So it does little things like that. So yes, you have to check it, and it doesn't know everything. You know, remember, you're bringing your knowledge to the table, and that's a huge point, right? People say, "Oh, AI is going to displace us all," and you know, it knows everything. No, it doesn't. It doesn't know what you know, right? And it doesn't know it doesn't have our experiences, our history, our spin on things. No matter how good it gets, it'll never duplicate a human mind in terms of what that mind has experienced over life. Yep. So when I'm working with AI, I was working with the other night, you know, and I'm like, hey, here's my idea. I want to do this. And it was like, yeah, that's a great idea. Here's 5 ways to do it. And I was like, no, I don't think so. I was like, here's 2 ways to do it better than that. And of course, it's like, oh, you're right. Those are better ways. Or a funny thing was I asked it the other day. I said, hey, a new version of you is live. It's Claude launched a new version, right? So whatever, like the new Windows, you know, we're all experiencing, right? Windows 3 is launched. So I said, there's a new version. And it said, no, there's not. And I took a screenshot of an email I got from the company and said, yes, there is. And it said, oh, look at that. I was wrong. You were right. You know, so it doesn't know everything. It's not as up to date as we are. And it can never duplicate our inherent knowledge and specialties, you know, that we have spent a life building. So it's just a great extension. It's a great tool. Think of it like an intern that knows the history of the world and can write beautifully, but doesn't know how to do your job yet.
Right. Do you think small and mid-sized businesses are uniquely positioned to win AI quicker than some of the bigger ones are?
Oh my gosh, for certain. And, you know, one key reason why: adoption, right? Smaller companies are going to be very nimble and can adopt this quickly because it's going to require training, right? So like somebody like me has to go into these companies and sit down almost with every employee and say, walk me through what you do every day and say, all right, 7 of those things we can automate with AI. Let me show you how. Like I remember going to one client and they were building a development company. And they were building a new hotel in Texas and they said, I have to write this big I was like, what's weighing on you today? And he said, well, I have to write this big proposal and I've got to do this research and then about this hotel. And then I've got to pitch it to the, you know, some surrounding businesses in the area that were thinking about doing it. And he talked to me for about 30 minutes. And I was like, well, how long is that going to take? And he said, it takes me like 2 weeks because I've got to do. And as he's talking, I turn my laptop around and his proposal is done. Right. And it was beautiful. And he didn't understand it. He was like, how did you do this? And I was like, well, AI can do the research. AI can build the whole thing. I mean, it's like, now here it is. Now just put your spin on it. And by the way, I'm not talking about clicking and dragging boxes in a PowerPoint. Just type in what you want to do and it'll change it. And he was blown away. Whereas large companies, as any company, right, it's going to take 6 months to move 6 inches, right? Where a small company can walk 6 feet in an hour, right? Or 6 miles in an hour, right? It's hard because of the adoption. Leadership has to promote it. People are already using it, right? If a leadership is saying we don't use AI, they're in denial, right? People are already using it. And the scary thing is they're not using it to the best of their ability. They may not know that it can be wrong, right? Like that attorney sending information out that's wrong. So we have to put in proper safeguards, which is going to take a lot longer for a bigger company, right? We have to structure use cases, what's allowed, what's not, documentation. We have to train, we have to teach. We need management to lead it, right? Change management. So of course, a small business has the advantage of adopting this technology quicker. And here's the really cool part. A small business can now compete with a very, very large business because of that, right? You know, you got companies paying $100,000 a year for Salesforce. And Salesforce does 10,000 things. And that company's only using 100.
Yep.
Right? But they have to use those 100. So they need to pay for this thing that does it all. But it's just like if you make a suit that fits everybody, you've made a suit that fits nobody, right? So software designed for every company, SaaS, is designed for no company. Well, now with vibe coding and AI, where a guy like me who doesn't code just built 5 things last week and launched them and have paying clients for them, building software. I never thought I'd build software. Because guys, the new software programming language is English. Hey AI, I want to build this app that does this. Okay, built. So a guy like me can go into a company and build them a new Salesforce in a day. And they were paying $100,000. And I said, give me a check for 10. Here's your thing. I'm out of here.
That's awesome.
So that's where we're at. SaaS is not going to die, right? But a whole new market is opening up for businesses that one can't afford Salesforce. Right? Or businesses that don't want to pay that large amount of money. And now they can redistribute what they were paying back into, you know, growing their team and doing more things internally, hiring a person to build these things internally. You can now rebuild almost any software specifically for your business. So that's what's giving these SMBs, these small businesses, they can now have $1 million software that these giant companies had access to, but they've just built it themselves. Right? It's just the tools are going to empower everyone in their organization to work at 10 times the speed and get 10 times the output. Now, I'd like to say work 10 times as less, but you know us humans are not going to do that.
No.
You know, you think the phones and email made work easier. No, we just worked more.
That's for sure. Scott, we're going to take a little short break here. When we come back, we'll talk about how AI can elevate the brand authority instead of commoditizing it. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more insights and frameworks to help you elevate your brand and your influence. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and this is the Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Let's dive deeper.
Welcome back. You're watching the Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Stream full episodes anytime on Now Media Television app, available on Roku, iOS, and Android. Or visit nowmedia.tv. We're talking with Scott McIntosh. Welcome back, Scott.
Good to be here.
So our next topic we're going to talk about a little bit is how to use AI to amplify your expertise, so not to replace it, okay? I think you've seen this too, and we talked about it a little bit before. Some leaders worry that AI might dilute their expertise, but it can actually enhance their credibility, can it?
Oh, for sure. And I think a lot of it is just the way that we communicate, right? We have all this knowledge in our head, and not all of us are great writers. Not all of us can write music. Not all of us can design a website, right? Not all of us can draw a picture. Like, I can't do any of those things. I'm not good. Not good at any of those things. But AI can help us get what's in our head out, just by having a conversation with it, right? Some very interesting things you can do. Obviously, it can do amazing research. So let's say you've got a decision to make with three options. You can actually tell AI to take the role of a national consumer researcher that's going to poll thousands of people and ask them which one of these three choices they would pick. And studies have shown that AI is 90% as accurate as an actual consumer research study. So, and it'll literally tell you the people out of those 3,000 that would have picked those different versions. So, you know, you give it your idea, you say which one of these is the best, it literally picks it out, and you can pretty much go forward with, you know, confidence that that is the best choice. We talked previously in the episode that, you know, AI can never replace like our knowledge, what we know, but it can enhance it by adding additional details, right? We don't read all the studies of every journal out there, but if we say, hey, I'm working on this, let's say scientific idea, you know, what other research out there supports my hypothesis? And it can go out there and save you time, find that research and say, hey, let's discuss, what if I switched to this? And what if we did this? And say, yeah, that's, here's some research that supports that, and come up with an actual, like, final hypothesis on that, that's backed up by research that you double check, right? And then you tell it, great, create a presentation that I can share with my colleagues, or create, you know, a summarize this in an email that I can send to a journal to see if they'd be interested in the story. And then it does that, right? So not only has it saved you time, it's also enhanced your knowledge base, right? By adding the knowledge base that's already out there that you would have never had time or energy to do. Finally, it helps you communicate this knowledge with whoever you want in whatever medium they need, right? I have an AI that writes its own scripts, shows its own voice, produces its own podcast, and now is uploading its own YouTube videos. So just you know that it can do that, you could literally have an AI that you tell, hey, communicate this in a voice that, you know, Janet would understand better. Right? Do some research on Janet, see what she likes. Does she like email? Should I call her? Should I message her on LinkedIn? However it is. It can not only help you pull the knowledge out of your head, it can validate it, and it can help you share it with the world in the medium that is best.
Wow, that's awesome. I wasn't aware it could do all that too. So it's going to replace me at some point, right?
It's getting crazy. One of the projects I made was called The Great Displacement.ai. And it's a calculator where you can calculate how long you have until your job's taken by AI.
Oh, wow.
Kind of scary.
I think we'll talk about that one in shortly. We'll get back to that
one. Okay, let's get back to that one.
All right.
There's good news, though. There's good news on the other side of it.
That's good. So I'm a little curious, Scott. Has a client or a colleague ever created something that wasn't meant to be funny, but turned out to be a funny challenge for you? And what did you do?
I mean, every day. I think this happens every day. For instance, I had a client ask me today, because we do Google rankings, right? And we do AI search rankings. And I have a report that shows the pages of his website that rank for certain search terms. And I don't know if you've ever tried to rank something in Google or AI, or to get them aware of your business or your website or anything. It's hard. It's really hard. And there's a lot of techniques and takes a lot of training and sometimes even a lot of money to do this. And so he's ranking very well. He's ranking in the top three spots for a lot of words. And I sent him his report, and he did say it was great, but he said, hey, I don't like the page that is ranking for this word. Can we tell Google to change the page that it's showing? And I usually would say this to a client, but I said, you're being too picky. I was like, let's be grateful. And I almost said the thing that my 9-year-old was taught at school, you get what you get and you don't fuss a bit. So yeah, today literally was, I laughed out loud when I got the email. I was like, your page is ranking. You just don't think it's the right page. I was like, let's not tell Google not to rank that page.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think you could do that yet, but
yeah.
Yeah. I think Mr. Google would have issues with that too. Right.
Yeah. From an AI perspective, I was filming a client today to create an avatar. So this is possible. Like we can film people and then we just upload. He was like, how long do we have to film? And he's expecting like 2 hours or something miserable. And I was like, I need 2 minutes. And he was like, no way. And it was kind of funny. He was very monotone. And for AI to capture your essence, you need some more movement. So I filmed him for, 2-3 minutes for one thing. I tried to change a topic. And then I turned the camera on the side, or kind of put it to the side of him. And I asked him about the Arkansas-Alabama game. And I hit record. There's the emotions. And he didn't know I was filming. He wasn't nervous anymore, right? And his secretary's laughing because she knows what I'm doing. And finally, he's like, what are you guys laughing at? I was like, I've been filming the whole time. I was like, that's what I wanted. That's what I needed. But anyway, so he's like, so what are you going to do? Can you have me speaking on the top of Mount Everest when I give my financial analysis? And I kind of laughed, but then in reality, I can. So I said, yeah, I can probably do that. So let me look into it. And then another funny thing we did today with the videos is we're calling this the live brief. So my motto is make work fun again with AI. And we met with a big client today, and in the background, he had a bunch of Star Wars memorabilia. So we're like, oh, you're a Star Wars fan. He was like, oh yeah, yeah. He's like, I had to get it out of the house because my wife said, I can't have it. He had a whole shelf. I mean, everything from Star Wars movies. And so we're going to send him a proposal, but it's not going to be a document, a PDF, a PowerPoint. We're going to send him a live website where C-3PO is going to be on there talking to him about his proposal. And that's the cool part about AI. That's not that hard to do anymore. That'll take us 2 hours. You think, I don't even know how to do that. We do it with sentences. We tell AI what we want. And guys, if you're watching this and you don't know how to do anything that I'm saying, ask AI. Screenshots and AI are now your best friends, right? If you don't know how to do something online, you want to master something, take a screenshot of it, paste it into ChatGPT or Claude and say, how do I do this? And it'll say, click that button right there. All right, I clicked it. What next? Dude, I registered my own trademarks the other day using Claude to walk me through every field to fill out. Because if you're the business, if you own the trademark, you're allowed to register your own trademark without an attorney. It cost me $350 and an hour of time.
That's awesome. That's great advice for people who are listeners today. So you can obviously do a lot with AI just by dropping photos in, dropping pictures in, dropping some statements in, and ask it to create some things.
It sounds
very simple, but it's still a little work that has to get involved, but it can do a lot more than most people imagine, correct?
And it can. And make sure you tell it who you are. Like I tell it, I am not a developer. I'm not a coder, but I want to build this thing. How can we build this thing? Walk me through it step by step, one step at a time. And it does. It's like step one, go to this website, click this link, click this button, do this, do that, click here, boom, boom, boom. 2 hours later, which by the way, it said it would take me 30 minutes. It took me 4 hours at one time. But 4 hours later, I've got this thing that works. And I'm like, okay, we did it.
Scott, we have a lot of leaders who are listening to our program. How does this AI create automation space to provide more decision-making levels for leaders to lead?
That's a good question. You know, obviously it's a coach, right? Obviously you can ping ideas off of it. Cloud projects, you can keep everything per employee, right? Keep a project on every employee, every interaction you had. If you hear that employee mention their son just won the baseball tournament and they mention their son's name is Joey, write that down in there real quick, right? Because you're not going to remember it 2 days later. And then next time you got to talk to that employee, you go to that project and say, hey, what was his son's name? Right? Or put their LinkedIn in there and say, hey, give me something I can talk about when I'm going to go into this employee, right? And now you've got this great message or this great approach to all of your employees. Like, hey, you know, Steve, send me that report whenever you have time. By the way, how did Joey do in his game? right? So that's a simple way to expand your memory, right? Because we're leaders, we're focused on the business, we're focused on these things. Sometimes it's hard to focus on our people, right? Because they're there and we're paying them, and it's easy to just take that for granted. But remember, your people are your core value, 100%. Right? And the happier your people are, the more they feel heard. You know, I learned in the Navy, the reason for all that badges and stuff, it's an oldest trick in the book, right? You can't pay somebody more, give them a piece of candy, right? Make them feel validated, right? Yep. Recognition, that's what people want, right? So AI is great for that. Just remembering, you know, what you need to remember per employee. A lot of things too, you can automate. If you're moving spreadsheet information back and forth, I mean, there's AI that can automate that. There's new AIs, Claude can now link in with your spreadsheets. So if you get this huge spreadsheet, right, from your direct reports and you can't make sense of it, you can now just ask AI, what does this mean to me, right? Or, I mean, clarity is what we need as leaders, right? What is this data actually telling me? You don't need 2 hours to dig through it and find a broken formula that you don't even know what it links to. You could literally ask AI, why is this formula broken? Oh, because page C has a question mark instead of an equals. I'll fix it. Right? Done. Now your report makes sense. Hey, I don't read spreadsheets, even though, you know, Susanna does that sent this to me. I want to make Susanna feel validated, but I also want to understand what this means. And I don't want to send her an email saying, hey, I don't know what this means, format it a different way. Because that's not how Susanna communicates. So I take what Susanna gave me, I put it into Claude. I say, I communicate with visuals, turn this into visuals for me, and pull out the main points. Done. Right? Great. Now create a spreadsheet of that data so I can send it back to Susanna and say, hey, because that's the way I'm going to respond to her, because that's how she reads. Hey, I pulled out the key endpoints of your data. Here they are. She's like, oh my gosh, that's great. Everyone's happy. It's easier for you and business is better. So it's just, these are empowering tools. They make you faster, smarter, they give you more resources. They give you a better way to communicate.
Makes you agile as well, because really at the end of the day, it's all about agility, being able to respond to things faster and more efficiently.
That's right. End of the day, you're tired. You don't want to answer that email. Throw it into AI. Hey, should I respond to this? And it'll, you know, it'll give me three options and pick one and paste it and go.
I think that's one of the key things that most of our listeners should take away as we continue our conversation about AI is asking for options, because you're not always going to like that first draft or that first email. So if you ask it for two or three different verbiage or how to rephrase this to be more friendlier, be humorous, or be more serious, this is how you actually can train your AI to get used to you, correct?
That's such a good point. I think a lot of people have used AI in the past and they just said, hey, I tried to talk to it, I didn't like what it gave me back. You know, but same as anything, what you put into it, the quality of what you put in is going to determine the quality of what you put out. So there's two real big points in this. A lot of people are using AI wrong because they don't know how to prompt it. So for anybody that doesn't know what prompting is basically the instructions you give an AI chat, such as ChatGPT or Claude. It's the instructions you give it to get out what you want. So
in simple terms for our listeners, if I may, it's like you have your GPS, right, where you want to go. So you put the address in. So that's how it knows where to go. So prompting, if I may, help me if I say this wrong, is the instructions of what you're looking to get back or an answer.
That's a genius analogy. If you get in your truck and your GPS says, where are we going? And you said, take me anywhere, but you expected to show up to Bass Pro Shop. What are the chances it's going to get there? Not likely. Same with AI. And that's the problem. A lot of people are using it wrong and a lot of your employees are using it wrong. So that's why it's important to, you know, teach them, right, how to use it properly, because they're going to get much more out of it and you're going to get much more out of your team. And it all starts with prompting those instructions, that address you put into it. And there's tons of guides out there on prompting, but I'm going to tell you the three key parts to prompting right now. First thing, now this isn't for a normal chat. Like, hey, I'm thinking about going to Disney World. Like, let's have a talk about it, right? Or I just want to brainstorm with it. That's fine. Prompting is really where you're going to tell it who to be to get the best answer. The three things you need to know. You give it a role. That's first, you tell it who it is, right? You give it a background, give it the information it needs to know, and then finally you give it a specific task. Now there's other things you can give it. You can give it example, you can then have another section for examples, you can have another section for restrictions, you can make up sections, but the key ones that I use every day are the role, the background, and the task. So what you, and literally you type this, you type in bold letters, role, R-O-L-E, and then hit a space, right? And then tell it who it is. And here's how AIs work. Picture all the knowledge of the world is a giant mansion, right? And if you ask somebody to go in that mansion and find you an answer to a question, it's going to be difficult because all the rooms, let's say, are different subjects. And it's got to walk through this whole mansion and figure out which room is right. And finally, it'll get the answer to your question, but it'll take a lot of work and it might not be that accurate. But if you tell it to go to the physics room and ask it a physics question, it immediately is in that room. It goes to that room and that's where all the physics knowledge is. That's kind of how an LLM works, how an AI works. Their knowledge is spatial.
Just back up one sec. LLM.
Sorry.
Listeners, you may not know that, if you don't mind.
Thank you. No, that's perfect. So an LLM means large language model. That's the science behind how AIs work. That's what makes them work. It's just a technical term. It's called a large language model. But when anybody says AI or an AI model, that's what they're talking about. ChatGPT is an AI model. Anthropic, Claude, is an AI model, is a large language model. That's basically the, it was a Google document that came out, I think, in like 2018, 19. And it theorized this structure of data in a large language model. And that's what makes the AI brain work. But the easiest way to think about it is think about it in space. It's like all the knowledge is sitting in a 3D world, right? And AI vectorizes all the information. So a vector meaning three lines can connect in a 3D space, right? Two lines in a 3D space, it can still be anywhere, and that you need that third line to show an exact pinpoint something in 3D. That's how LLMs work. They have their knowledge base like that. So not to get too much into the complications, when you tell AI its role, you say you're a physics expert. It knows now that to go into that area in the mansion or in the space of all the knowledge around where physics is kept. It makes it easier to search the knowledge. Here's something really cool. You can tell AI it's a specific person. You can say your role, you are Einstein. And it will take the role of Einstein. I told AI the other day it was Hemingway and gave it a task to write me a short story. And it was amazing. I love Hemingway and it nailed it. I was like, this is unbelievable. So you give AI the role you want. Like I said in that Consumer Report research, I told AI it was an expert consumer researcher. If you just ask AI, do a consumer research report for this, blah, 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 it won't know what you're talking about. But for some reason, when you give it the role to tell it, you are a consumer research expert, right? When I have it do images for me, I say, you are an award-winning graphic designer that specializes in images for Facebook ads or for webinar advertising. And so that's the role you give it. Then give it the background. I need an image, 1200 by 1200, using this text for this company and this brand and this logo and blah, blah, blah. That's the background. And then task, create the image, right? So give it the role, give it the background. All background, you can give as much information as you can and then give it the exact task. What do you want it to spit out? And that's how to get the best results from AI. And that'll change the game. It'll completely change the output.
That's fantastic advice. It's totally right on point in my mind. To me, those are three tasks, things that everyone, if you didn't have a pen, taking notes or a pencil, or you're not listening it to record it, play this back and make sure you do those three tasks. So yep. I think we're going to take a little short break here, Scott. Up next, we'll explore what's coming up next and how leaders can future-proof their organizations.
We'll be right back with more insights and frameworks to help you elevate your brand and your influence. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and this is the Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Let's dive deeper.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Jeff Brandeis with the Authority Playbook. We're speaking with Scott McIntosh today. Scott, You've written and spoken about what you call the great displacement. You mentioned it earlier. Let's do a little bit of unpacking on that, if you don't mind, right? So what do you mean by the great displacement? Let's start there.
Sure. So, you know, they've used the term the great displacement before to talk about one specifically, you know, an author talked about global warming and how mass migrations of people are going to move to different places. I've kind of recoined it for AI. You know, the great displacement is going to be very similar to potentially the Great Depression. But the difference is they didn't know the Great Depression was coming. We know the great displacement is coming. We know the job shift is coming because of AI. And there's been so much data put out about how this is going to happen, that I was able to take a lot of that data. And the two main points of that data, right, the two main kind of lines moving down a timeline is the rapid capabilities of AI increasing. As we talked about, AI is now building its next version, and that's just going to increase exponentially, right? But on the flip side is human adoption of new technology is not fast. People don't want to change. I don't care how great the tool is, right? My business is fine. I'm making money. Everyone's happy. Don't mess it up, right? The sales guy calling, like, I get it. Your thing is shiny object, amazing. I don't want it right now. I'm busy. I got my daughter's wedding to plan for, or my, you know, life, we're busy, right? But eventually AI will come quick enough to where if you're as a business owner are not adopting it, you know, you're already, if you're not adopting it, you're already potentially going to be quickly overtaken by your competitors who are, right? And the big quote, you know, out there is, you know, you won't lose your job because of AI. You won't lose your job to an AI. You will lose your job to someone who knows AI, right? Mm. You won't lose your job to AI. You will lose your job to the person who's mastered AI. So that's kind of what I always try to tell my people. Let's learn AI together, and we'll be part of that. You know,
very profound there, sir.
Thank you. So as we watch these two timelines, right, go, like, AI is growing rapidly. Human adoption is staying like this. But in about 2027, 28, that's where we're going to have the biggest separation between the two, right? Human adoption versus how capable AI is. And that's where we're going to have the biggest job loss starting, right? Millions of jobs are going to be lost, right? But then people are going to start adopting, right? And as we know with any new technology, yeah, with the loom, right? The loom invented a great way to make clothes. You didn't have to stitch them by hand anymore. And all the people that did the looming business were like, oh my gosh, the world is ending. We can't do loom anymore. But all of a sudden, we could wear more than one outfit a week, right? The whole fashion industry was born out of this. A beautiful, fun industry. So same thing with AI. Yes, there's going to be a point, and I think it's around 27, 28, where it's going to be hard, right? It's where AI is very capable, and yet people haven't adopted it yet. So it's going to be a lot of job loss. But then the new jobs are going to start being created, and we're going to come back to a very close point, right, to where we make up for that job loss. So you can use the Great Displacement calculator to figure out when, you know, you might lose your job because of an AI change, right? But know that there's going to be opportunities beyond that. And if you're watching this show, you're already ahead of the curve. Geez, if you can prompt better than the next guy, the next girl, then you're already ahead of the curve. Let's think about the media industry in terms of entertainment, like television and movies. Obviously, they always get hit hard when a new technology, like, you know, record players, right? Radio to TV. So I don't know if you saw the fight scene between Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise. Have you seen that video?
A recent one? Or
yeah. This new AI technology has gotten so good at making video. Somebody used it to show Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise fighting.
Wow.
And Brad Pitt's yelling at Tom Cruise in his voice. And Jeff, it's just as good as the movie. Just as good. Besides, Tom Cruise's voice was weird. But so a lot of the movie industry bigwigs are literally tweeting or communicating out, and they said, it's over for us. Like, this technology just shows anyone can now create whatever they want video-wise. So this industry is going to get hurt a little bit, right? Or a lot. But I don't think what people are looking at is the other side of this. Like, how easy it is now to create media, right? So now we can create custom movies for, or TV shows or cartoons for our kids ourselves, right? We type in a show and education, we make it up ourselves and it produces it, right? Or the hospital is now producing all of its own content to entertain its kids constantly, right? Or our teachers maybe are now, you have C-3PO as a teacher, right? That can mimic any cartoon character or any voice, a movie that the kids like, keeping them engaged. There's going to be a media explosion. And I think that's going to be a positive thing. You know, media was very hard to create. It's a very big industry, but it's very expensive. It's very time consuming, but people love media. But now we can create media easily. And anybody in the media business is hating this right now. And I get it, right? It's a disruptor. It's going to change the industry. And it's not going to kill the industry. There's still going to be traditional ways to do it. But it's going to give so much more opportunity. That kid in the Philippines who has a brilliant idea for the next Forrest Gump, right, movie that would never have been able to produce it can now do it. It's going to allow, again, AI really can help us get the ideas that are stuck in our heads out. Because you got a great song idea, type it out. All of a sudden, there's your song. Oh my gosh, right? You've got a great movie idea, type it out. Here's what I think the movie should do. Boom, there's your movie. So it's going to open up this whole new world.
So this whole world is changing, and it really is going to affect how leaders even hire and the team structures of their environment. Do you actually now, are you rethinking how you're hiring for the future based upon what's transpiring today?
God, you know, that's a great question. And we just hired an intern that's in high school, and my COO's asking me, well, what do you want her to do? And I'm like, I'm thinking, what can she do that AI is not doing for us? And so I said, I want her to go out and interview business leaders about how they're using AI, right? I mean, that's a very human. I want her to call people and say, hey, sit down with an interview and ask them how they're using AI, and let's make like a newsletter about it. And that's what she's going to do. But you know, I don't have an answer to that question. I don't know where this is going, because a lot of the entry-level jobs are starting already to disappear. Especially reception, data entry, those are gone this year, you know, in a lot of ways. I mean, when you can have an AI that answers the phone 24 hours a day, and you can have 10,000 of them answering the phone at the same time, and they can all speak 124 languages, right? And they can translate everything. They can answer all their questions. They can route them. They can validate them. Hey, I'm calling to come clean your company's office. No thanks. Hey, I'm calling about, you know, I need your services. Okay, great. Let's get you booked on a meeting to this. So there's a lot of ways AI is helping, but it's going to take away a lot of those entry jobs. But here's the main problem with that. Where does the next level of management come from? Mm-hmm. Right? Because if you don't have the entry level people working, learning the business, there's nobody to pull from when that manager gets promoted. So we're going to lose this whole level of workers, you know, over the next 4 years. So I don't know where the next leadership comes from. So that's going to be a very interesting change. I definitely think, you know, honestly, I think college should switch now and just teach people. College is very, you know, I think still anti-AI in some ways, because it's, mm-hmm. This is cheating, right? And even us as adults, we still feel like we're cheating. Like somebody told me today, I taught them how to do something. They're like, I feel like I'm cheating. I was like, I know, it doesn't feel fair, but we're so branded to work all day, you know, and if we're not doing it, something's wrong. We don't know how to relax. We don't have to really have leisure. We're going on vacations and checking our email every 5 minutes. I mean, my hope is that AI is going to eliminate a lot of that, help us relax. But, you know, my fear is too that it might eliminate too much. But we're definitely moving from the age of information now into the age of intelligence. Right. That is the shift. That is the dramatic shift we're going through. We were in the age of industry, or what's the industrial revolution, right? But now we're now in the age of intelligence. My hope, honestly, is that it will eliminate a lot of the work, right, that we don't like to do. Because right now, guys, admit it, we're all doing too much work. We're all drowning in email still, spreadsheets, presentations, PowerPoints. We can't even have time to sit and talk with our children, right? We can't have a coffee with a client and actually relax without looking at our phone or hearing a ding, ding, Slack, boom, email, phone call, tweet. You know, we need to turn all this off. If we can have something else answer that for us and handle it and link to our calendar, and then we just go to the next meeting, we can literally sit and have a conversation with another human again without being distracted. So that's kind of my hope.
That's awesome. So one question before we take our next break, Scott, for business owners that feel like they're behind right now, what's their smartest move that they can start taking advantage of AI at this point?
Sure. Easiest thing, jump on YouTube and just start watching some videos, right? How to use AI, how to use Claude. What's the first thing I should do to use AI? Careful, you're going to get sold on a bunch of stuff, right? Everybody on YouTube is trying to sell you a training course. It's pretty much why they give all this content away for free. They give you just enough to get interested, and then they make you click their course. Coursera is fantastic, right? It's an actual website where you can take college level classes. And you can go on there and learn a lot about AI right now. So, you know, back to kind of colleges I talked about, I really think they should pivot and teach these kids AI, how to learn it. Don't look at AI, hey, you're cheating with AI writing your next paper. Who cares? AI's here. We can't close Pandora's box, right? It's open. It's out. Teach these kids how to use AI, because as a business owner, that's who I'm hiring, right? I was hiring somebody the other day and I had a bunch of great resumes, but she sent me a Loom video, and I use Loom a lot. It's a screen recording software. And and in her Loom video, she's walking through a diagram she built with Figma, which is another software. And I'm like, she already knows how to use these two. She's hired, right? I didn't even look at the other resumes. And she had the least experience. And now she started working for me that day. So she knows how to use the tools. And these kids got to come out of college knowing how to use these tools. And they got to be good at it. They got to be even better at us. That's what we want. We want somebody coming in that's better at these tools than us. Right. So I really want colleges to stop telling them this is bad and start teaching them how to use it so they can get out of school and teach us, you know, older farts how to use this jazzy stuff.
That's awesome, Scott. Thank you. When we return, we'll talk about long-term dominance and sustainable innovation.
We'll be right back with more insights and frameworks to help you elevate your brand and your influence. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Jeff Brandeis, and this is the Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Let's dive deeper.
Welcome back. This is the Authority Playbook on Now Media Television. Watch anytime on the Now Media Television app, available on Roku, iOS, and Android, or stream on nowmedia.tv. I'm Jeff Brandeis, the Authority Playbook host. Scott, we're going to talk about now the competitive advantage in a fast-moving world, because it's definitely moving fast, a lot quicker than a lot of people imagine. What do you think separates innovators from the observers in this disruptive market?
Just getting started, taking that first step. You know, it is overwhelming. The key is to just try one thing a week. Try one new thing a week, right? So subscribe to a couple of newsletters about AI for small business, or watch some YouTube videos, tune into podcasts, right? Tune into a podcast on your morning commute and just start getting ideas and just try to implement one little thing. If you hear something, try the easiest thing too. Like, think about a problem you have, find that solution and try to fix that one problem. And once that you have that breakthrough, right? That eureka moment, like, wow, AI made this so much better. It's like hitting that birdie finally. And you're like, okay, this game's not awful.
Very true. Focus on one thing that's hurting you the most, really, that you'd like to get fixed, and see if it can help you or not.
Exactly.
And again, go back to those prompts that we talked about earlier. What was it? Give it a role, give it a background, and give it a task so it truly understands what you're looking for.
Yep.
Did I miss one, or did we get those?
Yep.
Scott, I'm a little curious also. You know, we talked about earlier, your background was in digital marketing. How has that helped shape your approach to implementing AI and where you are today?
Pain. It was just pain. My job was painful, I guess, like most people's job. But for instance, like right, doing a website for a client, like we've done websites for years. We build websites. And if you've ever been through the website rebranding or building process, you know how hard it is. What should we say? What you think? Oh, it's a website. It's easy. Homepage, about page, contact us. But there's so much more to it. So getting the words out of my clients of what they did for the past 10 years, we've been doing what more, has been so difficult to the point where we would call them and ask them questions and just record it and then listen to it again and type it out and send it back to them, right? AI writes all the copy now. I mean, it's just, so for instance, I can record this meeting. I can record the first meeting with a client. In fact, all of our meetings are recorded anyway and transcribed with these note takers. And I just drop that into a Claude project, right? That I've trained with a role that you're an expert website copywriter. And it spits out all the copy that we need for the website. So that right there has saved me days, not and weeks of just pain trying to come up with the copy, the right copy for a website. And now it's done in 5 minutes. So just little tiny things like that have real, I mean, oh my gosh, advertising design. So I do a lot of, I work with a lot of media companies, but they're magazines, right? For B2B. So niche publications, and they all have newsletters. And so I, for instance, a magazine may be targeted at plumbers. I promise, right? Plumbers Weekly. I mean, there's a magazine for everybody, for everything. So I find plumbers online. I put an ad in front of them to subscribe to this newsletter. Well, I would have to create the ads myself. I would come up with the imagery and I'd buy stock pictures and I'd put it in Canva and right. Or I had designers, you know, all over the world that I would use. Now I just go to ChatGPT and give it the role of the graphic designer. I type in one sentence, Jeff, it's almost like the first try every time. It's perfect. I'm like, now, and this wasn't the case 6 months ago. This might not even was the case, been the case 3 months ago. You guys got to understand how fast this is moving. And only because I'm trying it out every day because I have it, like, I don't want to create another ad. So I was like, well, maybe it can do it today. And I throw it in there. No, that's still junk. Then the next week I try it. And then all of a sudden one day it was like, oh, that worked. Right. Now I just churn these beautiful ads out. So this benefits everybody because, you know, besides maybe the designer that I would have paid to do this, that's the one loss. But for me, I'm able to do this very quickly, very inexpensively, and I can churn out 5 to 10 creatives, right? So before maybe we're running 1 to 2 creative ads. One for creative for people that aren't in the ad industry is an image, right? Is the image and the copy or the words on the image. So, you know, it could take a week or two to generate, you know, 2 to 3 really good images with copy. Now I can generate 10 to 20 in 30 minutes. And the benefit of that is I can now give all these ads to, let's say, Facebook to run the ads, and Facebook's AI algorithm will watch and see how these perform, and they'll watch how people scroll. And if the plumber scrolls by the ad and slows down and clicks on it and then subscribe, we know that ad worked, and that happens all automatically. So out of the 20 ads I gave it, 3 of them perform acceptable. One of them kills it. One of them gets me my newsletter signups at the cost that makes it unbelievably profitable for the company and me. So now it's a win-win for both of us. It's definitely a win for Facebook because they get all the ad money, but the one loss is that designer doesn't have that work anymore. But a lot of those designers are using the same tools.
Right.
Right. And you got to think the designer is the one that has the eye. I mean, a business owner can do this all day long. It's like, well, I spit out 10 ads. I don't know which one's good. But a designer can use the same system and spin out. And so it's like, I know these two are good because that's what I do. So maybe in terms of loss, we're moving from, you know, doers, right, to curators. So instead of actually doing the work and creating the image or taking the picture, now we're looking at what AI creates and we say, this is the good one.
So there's definitely businesses need to balance the automation. But they also need to have that authentic human connection that they can't lose because of AI.
Yeah.
That's so important in this tool where people might be getting too comfortable with AI. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but how important is that human connection when you're actually utilizing tools like ChatGPT and Claude?
It's still really important. And a great way to think about that is the two scenarios where, let's say you have an AI phone receptionist that's answering the phone. So it's an AI answering the phone. Sounds really close to human. I mean, most people wouldn't be able to tell the difference, right? That's good, I think, because phone trees suck. None of us like calling and pressing one for this, press two for, you know, like if somebody could just answer the phone 24/7, I don't care if it's AI. If they get me what I want, done, right? I think that's good. If I'm doing a video conference with somebody, right? Or let's say I'm a big company and they have an attorney or a counsel. And let's say somebody needs counsel's advice, right? Or HR. And they click a link and it's an avatar of HR. And yet it's a person and it looks like the HR person and it's answering all the questions, but that human connection is lost, right? I feel like I'm being kind of scammed. So I definitely think there's a limit, especially with customers. There's going to be the ability to turn out videos like crazy coming soon. I mean, you can just pretty much tell it whatever you want. So there's going to be a lot of lost human connection. And businesses are going to say, oh, this is so easy to put this stuff out there, but they're going to miss that, right? So I think humans are going to, when so much of this AI slop gets out there, I think humans are going to crave that connection. I hope, right? I hope it's going to drive us back, get us off of social media, right? When social media is so overrun with just fake entertainment, maybe you turn it off and you just look at each other again and talk, right? So, you know, so that human
idea.
And people are going to love that coffee appointment because it's real, right? No, I don't want to do your avatar sales pitch video. I want to go sit with you and have a cup of coffee. Yeah, for sure. Right? So that's definitely important.
Scott, what final strategic play would you leave our viewers with to stay ahead of the curve?
I would, if you can, have an AI audit done. And that's going to be the new thing. And you're seeing that coming up soon. But I would have somebody come in and audit your company and say where you can best use AI, because it's so overwhelming. All technology has now changed. Every software that you use that doesn't have AI in it is not as good as it could be, right? Because now they can put AI in any software. So instead of just trying to do it all yourself, find a specialist to come in, especially if it's one in your niche type of business, and just tell you where you can start implementing AI. Don't try to do it all at once, right? And if you don't want to do that, like we said earlier, just start trying small things. And the key here is use AI to learn AI. Ask AI questions. Ask ChatGPT, I am a business owner. This is the business I run. What three things could I do in the next month to implement AI in my workspace, right? Just talk to it. If you have an idea, ask it. If you think, I don't know what I'm doing, I want to use AI, what can I use it for? It'll tell you. And then you tell it, hey, that's too much. Talk to me like I'm a five-year-old. I do that sometimes. And it tells me, okay, no problem. And it gives me graphs and helps me explain it to me in that way. So, you know, you don't even need an expert. You don't need another person. You can actually ask AI what you should do. So start there. Start experimenting by just chatting with it. And I recommend Claude. It just is better. And then see where that takes you.
The old KISS theory, right? Keep it simple, stupid, right?
Keep just it simple,
start,
stupid.
Start with basic stuff. So, Scott, I truly enjoy having you on the show today. It's been awesome. I think from a couple of my takeaways for our listeners or viewers would be, when you use the AI chats, the role, the background, and the task, what you wanted to accomplish, are three things that when you begin using the AI, or even for those who have experienced and haven't gotten the results that they wanted, three things that they should do. Correct? I got those three right?
Correct. And you can actually tell AI to create the prompt for you. Say, create a prompt to be a great graphic designer, and it'll create this beautiful prompt. And then you can start a new chat and paste in that prompt. It's pretty amazing.
That's amazing too. And then we also talked about if you're going to start with AI, pick one thing only, start and keep it simple, which we just talked about. So, Scott, where can our viewers connect with you and learn more?
Sure. Two main places, digitaltreehouse.com. It's my main company website. There's a phone number on there, email address on there. Those emails go to me, and they're filtered by AI, so I don't have to worry about spam. And then I write sometimes daily newsletter called smartowner.ai. So you can find that at smartowner.ai, and it's simple tips to help, you know, business owners, business leaders adopt AI And again, I try to write it every day, but as you know, we all get busy. I say somewhat daily.
Thanks again, Scott, for being on the Authority Playbook. I'm Jeff Brandeis. This is where strategy meets execution and leaders build lasting influence, only on Now Media Television. Thank you, everyone. See you next time.